Thanks, Robbie. Thanks, everybody that is here. I think we have a lot of new faces at Stereo Sessions today. I think we have TikTok to thank for that. So I finally figured it out. I think I was the last person to figure out TikTok. So if you are in the back, we've got some room up front. It's great for us to go ahead and get all in together. And it's great for the pictures too. If you go ahead and fill in. I appreciate that. We got to make sure we have a season 5. We want to have a nice some pictures in our what they call it, the sponsorship booklet. I don't want to have to, AI some people into those chairs. This is season 4 of Stereo Sessions, and it's funny. I got so many people that hit me up like, "Man, why don't nobody ever tell me nothing about events like this?" Like, man, we've been doing this for 4 years right here at the Listening Lab. It's free. So if you know somebody that is into an event like this, we can continue to grow it. So let them know they can go to stereosessions.wyxr.org or reach out to us at WYXR to continue to be a part of this experience. And you can check out a lot of our past Stereo Sessions over the last few years online on our Stereo Sessions domain page and also on YouTube. There have been a lot of great ones, a lot of incredible records. If this is your first time, make some noise, wave your hand. I'm really excited and humbled by that. So thank you so much. It's always kind of a deep exercise each year to consider records that will fit for this series. We pick 6 each year, and I want them to represent an expansive idea of Memphis music. We are the home of soul, rock and roll, and blues, but we're more than that in so many ways. And as a record collector, as a DJ, as a music journalist, and as a program manager at this station, my lexicon of Memphis music continues to grow just by having conversations with all our volunteer DJs, by going out and in the 4, almost 5 years that we've been on air, there have been some incredible records that have come out that we've already missed just from being so busy in our daily lives and dealing with the pandemic and all of that. And so we're honoring this legacy of Memphis musicians who are sometimes overlooked. I love my Al Green. I love my Otis Redding. I love my Ann Peebles. So many, 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 many. But there are so many folks who deserve that recognition. We had the Doubt Awards earlier last month. We celebrated some of these folks. They're in our churches. They're in our schools. They're in our grocery stores. They walk by us every day. I mean, I'm here in Crosstown. I walk by these people every day who have made some of these incredible musical statements. And, when we were devising this thing a few years ago, it was like, these are the records that only come up in green rooms when musicians are having conversations about what inspired them to push boundaries. And so I think this is a record that I've been excited to do for some time. This is a group that I've admired for many years because they're in a special category of what I call soul survivors. Groups, acts that just can't be kept down. They'll find new members. They'll reconfigure. They'll update their sound. They'll collaborate. They'll find new ways to get themselves out there. America's Got Talent in this case. But they'll find new ways to tell their stories. And so I'm deeply humbled that they are trusting me this evening to help them present their incredible story of surviving and enduring through many decades. And I would love to dig into what this record means to their career. They had 2 LPs that I went back and forth on which one I would want to feature, and so I just had to choose. But you want to listen to all the Masqueraders' music because they got some incredible music through several decades. So I'm going to welcome Robert Tex Reitzel and Harold Thomas up here.
Hey, how y'all doing? During the COVID pandemic, we couldn't work, so I had to go find me a job. I ain't got nothing against work, but the reason why I'm in that wheelchair is because on the job that I got ran over by Faulkner. Broke my leg, but I'm alive, and I'm thankful for that. I just wanted to let y'all know what was going on since you saw me in the wheelchair, okay? All right.
So, y'all have an incredible story, and you know, I try not to belabor too much of it on this front end, but you've been through so many iterations, even different names. People have splintered off from the group, and I think you may be one of the better examples of an artist that we've had here that isn't necessarily from Memphis, but is of Memphis, but you have many different places as well. So can we start with the beginning of the Masquerader Stories? Because I know that that isn't the original name of the group, and you all are from Dallas, Texas originally, is that correct?
Yeah, we're from Texas.
I needed my cowboy hat too. I could have planned that out a little better. I knew better.
I made this hat. He has a couple I made for him. I don't know where he didn't wear it, but the hats that you see us with, I made them. You know, we're blessed. We started singing in Dallas back in 1957, and we started in elementary school. So Harold didn't come along till later on, but he was living in Paris, Texas, while we were forming the group. The first group that we were a part of that we formed was the Stairs, and we call ourselves the Stairs because of the height. The difference, you know, we're like stair steps. But that group lasted for about 2 years. And one of the fellas went to the service, and we had a disagreement because we were just in eighth grade, and the oldest cat was in high school, and he figured like, well, I'm older than y'all, so I should be running it. I said, no, we put it together. This is our group. You just can't take over like that. So he wanted to be the boss, and we wouldn't let him, so he quit. Well, when he quit, I was singing baritone, and he was singing tenor. So when he quit, I started singing tenor. And he decided he wanted to come back, and I could sing tenor better than he could sing. So I told him, I said, if you want to come back, you got to start singing baritone. But anyway, that's the way the group started. And Harold came in later on, but I'm going to say this because it's true. And it happened on Beale Street. I'm jumping ahead of the whole thing. But we got so tight from singing on Beale Street, it was three of us. The people saw three dudes on stage singing, but they heard four voices. And the voice that they heard was the harmony, was the voice that the harmony made, the overtones from the harmony that we were singing. So, you know, back in the 70s, they said that we had the tightest harmony in history. And we took pride in what we were doing because when we started singing, we rehearsed 7 days a week for 7 years. And nobody missed a rehearsal. All right.
Yeah. All right, Tex. Tex got it all. But, you know, I met the Stairs. I met Tex and Charlie and little Charlie and Lee. Lee had joined the group. And so I was singing falsetto. I was singing the Chantels and maybe I was singing falsetto.
Annie Laurie.
And Annie Laurie.
Yeah.
And they thought,
that
wow.
Got me.
Well, you want to join our group? And I go, yeah, I think so. But they were a lot younger than I was. And so when I graduated from high school, I went on to join the Marine Corps because they were still in high school, 9th and 10th grade. And so when I came out of the Corps, they were still singing. They were calling themselves then the New Drifters. I came home on leave after boot camp, and we cut a record called, what was the name of that record?
The Same Thing?
Same thing, yeah.
And Talk About a Woman.
Talk About a Woman. And so we decided to change the name of the Stairs to The Masqueraders. And because we could sing almost any group's song.
Yeah.
And sound as good or better than they were, so we decided to name ourselves the Masqueraders, right?
Let me add this. When we were the New Drifters, we were masquerading as the group, the Drifters. Nobody knew any difference because back during that time, you know, everybody didn't have TVs. They did. So they had never really just seen the artist, so we could be whoever we wanted to be. We were the Temptations. We're everybody, you know, because of the harmony. We're nothing we couldn't sing. As a matter of fact, when we played the Apollo, we got lucky with I Ain't Got to Love Nobody Else, Chips Moman at American Studios. But anyway, when we went to be rehearsed or to get ready to do the show, to rehearse with the band, the cat said, "Where are your lead sheets?" And we said, "What's that?" Because we sung a cappella. We didn't know anything about it. It hadn't been that long since we were singing under the streetlights. You know what I'm saying? So he said, "Hey, man, I tell you what. I know your song, but I got to rehearse with these other folks that's on the show. And I'll put your songs together. I'll do your lead sheets. And when y'all come back, y'all can go on." So we said, okay, when you go to the Apollo at the top, that's where they put the PLs. We were all the way at the top. Our name was like this on the marquee. And we went to the hotel and we came back and we went upstairs and got dressed and we was on our way back down. They started playing the song before we came down the stairs. "Ladies and gentlemen, the Masqueraders," we ran out on stage, and I don't know what they was playing. It wasn't our song. So we looked at each other, and they will boo you off the stage at the Apollo. They booed off Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. They booed off the Temptations, and they was finna boo us off. I said, "Hey, wait a minute, hold it. We don't need no music." And we sung a cappella, got a standing ovation, and the next night, our name was right next to the headliner, and he didn't want to go on. go there.
Oh. Well, anyway, when I was discharged from the Marine Corps, I've been traveling around the world. So there was a friend of ours that was doing some traveling around too. So he had been in Detroit, and he had set us up a audition at Motown. And that was right up our alley. We figured, man, we can be just like the Temptations or the Four Tops, right? So we got our little change together, and it took us a while. But when we flew to Detroit,
plane fare one way. We didn't know nobody in Detroit.
We thought we were good enough that if they heard us, that they was going to take us, and that we didn't need no more money. But anyway, we got there, and when we caught a cab to Motown, when we got there, Motown had moved to L.A. They had the receptionist was there, and a couple of guys, one of the guys that wrote What Becomes of a Broken Heart, he was there. But we didn't know he was a writer. Anyway, he said, "I'll audition the Masqueraders," so he did. And we did a cappella. We did the Temptations, Four Tops, Contours, the Smokey. We did everybody. And when we finished, he says, "Fellas, I just want to be frank with you." He said, "Groups like you guys come a dime a dozen. We can't stop writing for the Temptations and the Four Tops and write for the Masqueraders." And that was it. So we walked out of Motown singing, "It's a lonely town. It's a lonely town." But when we hit the ground, there was a guy ran out behind us. He said, "Man," he said, "don't you guys be discouraged." He said, "Y'all, they're having a record hop down at the 20 Grand Theater." He said, "If you go down there tonight," he said, "tell the disc jockey that you're guys from Texas and you want to sing it." So that's on our way down there, we saw a microphone in a picture window as we were headed to 20 grand. And we decided to go up and knocked on the door, and a guy came named Ted Harris, and he says, oh, yeah. He said, we're the Masqueraders from Texas. He said, well, come on in. He said, let me hear what you got. And he set up a microphone, and we did a cappella, the same thing, Temptation. We did all of them and some old school music. And he says, man, he says, my boss is out of town. He said, but when he get back, he said, I want him to hear this. He said, I know he want y'all. So anyway, we went on down to the 20 grand, and we talked to the disc jockey, and he says, okay. He says, y'all said, we got the Masqueraders from Texas. And we had a, we had, in that time, we had some mask on. And they thought, Masquerade, that's going to run. Man. When we got through singing, they threw so much money on the stage. They threw money on the stage. We didn't have to worry about no money for a week.
Let me add. When we left Motown, we were out of it. Here we are in Detroit. We don't know nobody. Ain't got no money. And we headed to the 20 grand. But what happened was, when we stopped and we auditioned for Ted, he said, well, don't y'all leave, man. Don't go no. He didn't know we couldn't leave. We didn't have nowhere to go. I said all of that to say this. We were in Detroit, didn't know nobody, didn't have no money, and never went hungry or was without a place to stay a day. You hear me? God is so good.
Yeah, you better believe it, man. You know, after we got finished singing, we asked where the YMCA was, and we ended up at the YMCA, and we called Ted and told him that we were going to be staying at the YMCA. So Lou Beattie came in. He owned La Beat Records on 14th Street. And he came that next day, and he says, fellas, he said, I heard you. He says, y'all, the answer to my prayer. And we stayed at La Beat Records with Fred Bridges, Richard Eden, and Robert Knight. And, I mean, they wrote songs for us, and we did about 9 singles, 9 45s there. Beattie took us to the first 45 we did was A Family, Part 1, Part 2. And he took us to the radio stations. And he told the jocks we were ranchers from Texas, had plenty of money.
Yeah, they thought we had all wheels and stuff.
It was awesome though. We stayed in Detroit a while till the snow started coming down. And
you're skipping too much.
Okay.
Well, we're gonna have to skip ahead a little bit because y'all done recorded a lot of records and done a lot of things.
I know we're trying to get there.
That's all right because I want to know how you end up in Memphis and why Memphis.
Okay.
Well,
but give it up for them because these two are the greatest storytellers I've ever heard.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just wound y'all up once. I asked one question.
We left Detroit. I left Detroit first because Harold and Lee was working at Ford and Chrysler. And I was doing construction job work before I went to Detroit and Dallas. So I had a construction job. I was on the outside, 3 stories up on the outside on a ladder painting. So I saw the snow first. When it started snowing, I came down off the ladder, went to the apartment, packed my bag, called me a cab, and went to the airport. The next day, it was snowing.
Yeah.
David caught the buzz. It took him 5 days to get to Dallas. But anyway, we got to Dallas. We came to Memphis because Alvin Howard had also came to Memphis and met Chip Moman. And we were headed to American.
To Stax.
Yeah, we was headed to Stax, and we stopped at American. And they had... We knocked on the door. We had to go around back.
Wait a minute, Tex. Let me.
All right.
The reason why we stopped at American was because Alvin had told us, he says, American is hot, man. Said they got the number one record in the country. It was the Box Tops. Give me a ticket for an airplane. Number one. So we decided to stop at American. And when we did, the man out front, he said, look, you got to go around to the back. So we went around to the back of the studio, knocked on the door, and Bobby Womack opened the door. Hey. He said, hey, man, he says, I know y'all the singing group because I used to sing in a group, my brother. Come on in. What y'all got? Where you headed? Well, we was headed to Stax. Well, let me hear what you got. So we did a couple of songs for Bobby, and he says, man, he said, look, he said, if you go with the Stax, you're going to get lost in the shuffle. He said, because they got too many artists over there. He said, but if you stay over here at American, I can help you. He and Roosevelt Greer, y'all remember Roosevelt Greer? Football player. He was teaching Rosie Greer how to play the guitar. And Rosie wanted to be a singer too. And we ended up writing a song with Rosie Greer called Come On Cupid. But anyway, we stopped at American and Bobby played, he played on I Ain't Gotta Love Nobody Else was our first hit. He played on I Don't Want Nobody to Lead Me On and I'm Just an Average Guy. Anyway, we got caught up with Chips for a while, and then Chips, we ended up, I Ain't Gotta Love Nobody Else was released to
Bell
Records.
Yeah.
Larry Utah. And Larry was in love with the Masqueraders. He said, you know what, fellas? He said, I had the OJs, I had Gladys Knight and the Pips. He said, but you guys, I'm going to take it to the top. And he took that. I Ain't Gotta Love Nobody Else, and three promoters were on that record, and everywhere we go, it was number one. But anyway, so Chip saw it in going up the charts in Billboard Records. And I think one of the musicians said, hey, Chip said, the Masqueraders going up the charts. He said, he got on the phone and called Larry. Larry, he said, I want to put the Masqueraders on my label on the next release. Can you imagine that? His label was AGP, Unknown. And so when he called Larry and told Larry that, Larry was upset. He told his promoters, come off of it. And it stopped at number 57 in the Hot 100 in Billboard.
With a bullet.
Yeah. It stopped and sat there about 3 weeks, and then it started falling back out. But anyway, we was kind of upset with Chips. And when our contract expired, because Chips had told us, look, if y'all get with me, I'll put you in a suede Lincoln. That's what he said. We believed him because they had the number one record in the country. We didn't know that Dan Penn had produced it. But anyway, after that, we went back home and we met Darryl Carter. Darryl Carter was at American, and he had moved over to Willie Mitchell's studio, High Records. And he says, hey, man, he says, look, he says, what are y'all doing? I said, nothing. We just cut a couple of songs on our own. He said, well, if you come, me and Papa Willie will cut you. So we came to Willie Mitchell's studio, and we cut a couple of three songs with him. Al Green got hurt, and the whole thing stopped. So we didn't know what we were going to do then. There was a lady there. She says, look, she says, if y'all want to, you can stay at my house because I got a great big house. Nobody's there but me, and you don't have to pay anything. But just let me book you, because she had a booking agency called Four Pals. All right. So anyway, we're getting there to everybody want to live on.
Yeah, how we get hooked up with Isaac Hayes.
Okay, yeah. We're getting right there.
Because we got to listen to the record, too, now. There's an interview portion and a listen to the record portion. Okay.
We went to Laura Mims' house, and we stayed there. And while we were staying there, there was a lady that was living down the street. When Mickey, who played in the Isaac's band,
Mickey Gregory?
Yeah, Mickey Gregory. He didn't go to Hawaii. He stayed back as a security guard for the studio. And so when I met Mickey, I said, hey, Mickey, I said, do you think Isaac would mind if we wrote some lyrics to one of his music? And Mika said, what is that? And I said, I don't know the name of it. I said, but they play it on the radio, and it is really nice. Anyway, Mickey went and got all the albums, brought them back, and he played them, and there it is. The name of the record song was Now We Are One. It is beautiful. Matter of fact, I got it in my bag.
That's right.
Now We Are One. So Mickey said, okay, man, said, let's write it. Let's write the lyrics. So we sat down and we had a little wine, a little beer and stuff, and we were trying to come up with the lyrics, and Mickey said, Hold it. I got the whole thing. He says, Honey Ann's on the phone, and she says the party's on. Does she know what this means? Now we are one. You got it? I mean, so Mika was excited. He said, man, let's do this.
I'm going to call Bubba, man. I'm going to call Bubba. That's Isaac.
So we went down to the studio, and he put the track on, and we started singing and put the voices, background, and the lead sing on in it. He got on the phone. Hey, Bubba, listen to this. He played the song to Isaac. I go, man, who the hell is that? He said, the Masqueraders. Isaac said, you talking about I ain't got to love nobody. I'm just an average guy masquerading. He said, yeah, he said, I want them, man. I want them. That's how we got with Isaac. So when Isaac got back, he took us out of the house and put us in the hotel. There was a hotel over there.
The Holiday Inn, as a matter of fact. For a year.
Yeah, he put us in the holiday. He put us in there, he said, look, you can eat downstairs, everything. He said, don't put no liquor on the bill. And so when he got back, he gave us a piano, and we started writing. Call Me the Traveling Man. We wrote all of our songs except one was Carol King's song.
Yeah. It's You, Baby. It's You.
Baby, It's You. But we changed it, the style of it, but we gave her the credit anyway. Isaac was very pleased with everything. And so we all agreed that we give him 50% of our publishing because he's going to record all this stuff, right? Isaac was at the top of his game because they had chose him for Shaft. He had an award for Shaft, and all of his musicians were tough. I mean, they were cocky, you hear me? And they were tough. And we knew we were going to the top with Isaac. We said, Black Moses is gonna deliver us. Yeah. And that's it, brother boy.
Hey, I appreciate you. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to listen to Side A. I want to say thanks to Shangri-La for not only sponsoring but helping us out. I didn't have but one copy of the record, and now they've arrived with a one that's never been played before. It's sealed. So thank you for – that's a super sponsor right there. So what we're going to do, if you have A, stay in here. If you have B, you can hang out in there. And we're going to listen to Side A. Have another short discussion, and then we're going to flip them, okay? Does that work?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to do Side A. It might take a little minute to open that record. It's sealed. It's been sealed since the 70s.
Attention sometimes. She needs some loving.
affection. Together, it's a match. You wanna be loved. Just wanna be loved. She wants to be loved.
Didn't fall in love with you to act up like a fool. Well, that's something that I would never do, because I love you, and I won't. And I want you to trust me too. Oh, and I know that all in love is fair.
like I need you. And you know I do, you know I do. Girl, and I want you to need me too, to need me too. I desire you, and I want you to want me.
How does it sound in the smaller room? Did it sound good? All right. Awesome, awesome.
I'd just like to say a little something about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Album that you just heard. It's really never been played. Isaac went bankrupt in 77. That was the second album. That's the second album that we had cut. We cut two albums with Isaac. The first album, Call Me the Traveling Man, was released. Everybody Wanna Live On. Traveling Man was released, and it hit the charts. But after that, he went bankrupt, and all our music got caught up in that bankruptcy. And it only came back to life when we appeared on America's Got Talent in 2017. They heard about the Masqueraders from America's Got Talent, and so Concord released that album over in London. Hello. And that's the truth. Our music really haven't been heard by the masses. I mean, it's good music, because Isaac and his band were top dollar musicians at that time. And we just happened to come along with and met Isaac through Mickey Gregory, who said, I got the whole thing. He says, honey, Ann's on the phone. And she says, the party's on. Does she know what this means now that we're one? And we went down to the studio and put it down on the and he got on the phone, called Isaac up. Bubba, listen to this. And Isaac said, man, who is that? He said, that's the masquerade. He's talking about masqueraders did. I ain't got to love nobody. I'm just an average guy. He said, yeah. He said, I want him, man. And when he came back, when Isaac got back from Hawaii, he came to the house and got us and put us in Holiday Inn for life. But the musicians were great. We had Lester Snell.
Yeah, Lester is over there, y'all.
Yeah. Arranger, big time arranger. We loved the musicians and they loved us. And we thought we would, like I said, we had already said Black Moses is gonna deliver us. You know, cause Isaac was Black Moses at that time. But when we got with him, we thought, this is it, man. But his bankruptcy knocked us down and our music was shut for 30-something years until we hit America's Got Talent, and they decided to release that.
Harold, let me say this one thing, because when we were in Detroit, we cut, about 9 songs, right? Mm-hmm. Not knowing that the people in England was listening to our music. We are superstars in England.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I'm telling you, Northern Soul. The first time we went to England, people were standing in line kissing our hands. I'm saying, what's wrong? You know, and then you go in the pub, everybody in the pub want to buy you a drink. So it's about 100 people in the pub, and the cat say, hey, Tex, let me buy you a drink. I got the next, I got it. I said, no, you don't either. I can't drink all that. I stopped drinking. Oh, man, but God has been good, and, yep. And we're still alive. We're still alive, so, you know.
Go ahead. Yeah, I just want to say this right. Just get this in there. How we got to England was one of the record guys from Northern Soul, he was looking for some old 45s. And he came to a record shop that was next to
Had a beauty salon.
Tex and Randy had a beauty shop called Midas Touch. And he came to the record shop next door to it, and this one of the England Northern Soul guys came in, and he saw our album cover up on the wall. And he said, the Masqueraders, man.
My favorite group.
Uh-huh. And Gus said, one of
just
them is
one
next door.
That's how we got to England.
They brought us to England twice. One to Northern Soul and one to Wales.
And we went back. We've been in England 3 times.
Oh, 3 times, yeah.
What was the impetus of the decision to go on America's Got Talent, to share your story and share your music for a new generation?
You know, we had been idle for a while, you know, because we lost, it was just 3 of us, and we were singing on Beale Street. They let us go on Beale Street because the manager said, well, look, man, he says, we're going to have bluegrass up here instead of you guys, you know, so on and so on, so I'm going to have to let y'all go. So we were just kind of idling. Another guy came, I was driving a school bus, and one of the school bus drivers says to me, says, I know somebody that needs some background. So you think y'all could do some background for gospel? I said, yeah, we can do some background for gospel. And so I called Tex, and we got together, and we started doing some background for gospel. All right? This is what God really kicked in on us. And we didn't ask for no money or nothing. We were just ready to sing, you know. Come on, man, let's do it. And the guy said, well, we ended up doing one of our songs, our gospel songs, and the producer. Go ahead, finish.
Okay, we went to do the background. But on the way, I was telling Harold, I said, hey, man. I said, you know, when I was in Orange Mound, I used to help a lot of kids, and I used to keep them out of jail. I'd get people out of jail because I'd give them jobs. But anyway, I was telling Harold about this particular dude, and when we got to the church, the dude at the church was a pastor. He was a pastor of the church. The one that I was telling him about, I'm saying, wow. And the first thing that came out of his mouth, he said, if it hadn't been for this man right here, I'd been in jail.
Yeah.
God is good.
And right after that, we didn't finish with the songs because one of the producers, he wanted us to do one of our song and one of the other guy's song. And the other guy said, well, if I can't do both of my songs, I'm not going to. So we said, let's get out of this. So
let me say this. First of all, they would treat us like we were peons. They didn't know we could sing. The first time that they saw us after we left was about a month later. We on national TV. I haven't seen that guy. I've been looking for him ever since. They didn't know we could sing. They were looking for somebody to put with us. We don't need nobody. And if we do, we'll find them ourselves. But that's what happened.
We decided. Texas, he said, man, America's Got Talent's coming to Memphis. What do you think? I said, let's do it.
Let's go do it.
So we went down there that Saturday to audition for America's Got Talent. And it was about 4,000 people down there. And we had stayed all day long. And Sam was a lead singer. He was driving a bus at night over FedEx. So he was wore out. We were waiting around there for him to call us audition. And it was about 4 o'clock. And Sam done went outside. Tex went out and got it. Come on back. I said, look, man. I said, you know what? I said, many a failure turn about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Y'all know about that? Don't quit. And we came back. Soon as that happened, the people started saying, all right, all of the singers over here and all of the musicians, the comedians over there, they called the Masqueraders. And we went in. And we did a cappella, Change Gonna Come. And the girl said, wow. She said, y'all sing a cappella? I said, no. I said, I got a track right here. Lester had put our track together for us. So I gave her the CD, and she put it on, and we hit it again, and she was blown away. She said, wait a minute. Come on, let's go down here. I want some more of our people to hear you. And we went down and sang for them. They go,
yeah, we did a concert.
She said, I can't promise you nothing, but man, this is the kind of energy that America's Got Talent need. And about 2-3 weeks later, they hooked us up.
Yeah, we were like 72 years old. We were the older people. But I'm telling you, God is so good. I'm 81. And I used to get on stage and I said, I'm the kid in the group. Because they older than me. And I didn't know some of these old songs. They taught them to me. But we had a ball and we're still having fun because when God gives you something, can't nobody take it from you. And he gave us these voices and man, I love singing. I used to tell the folks on Bill Street, I do this for free. And Tara said, don't say that, Tara.
Well, this name is almost kind of like poison in my mouth, but Kanye West sampled you guys for one of his records. We just heard Can't Nobody Love Me Like You Do. For one of his early mixtapes, he used that for a beat. When did you guys become aware of that, and has it been any tangible benefit, do you feel, to your career?
We haven't got a dime, but you know what? He even rubbed it in our face because on the end of the song going out, he speeded it up. We sound like Chipmunk, but it's us singing on our own record. But no, we haven't gotten a dime from that yet. But the ain't no statute of limitation on that, so whenever we get somebody to go take care of it, he gonna have to pay us.
But he wasn't the only one sampled Missy Elliott.
We had a whole lot of folks. I got a list like this of people that sampled all our music. As a matter of fact, I was looking on YouTube, and it's a group band, white band. I ain't got to love nobody else. Man, they singing that song. And then I saw another cat in a Cadillac playing Average Guy. So they love our music. We bless, and we're still here. And it ain't the only time it's too late is when they're throwing dirt in your face. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. They're not throwing dirt in my face yet.
But you know when we hit America's Got Talent, and Simon, we had already picked Texas to talk because he likes to talk. Simon said, "What made you guys decide to come on America's Got Talent?" Because we were the old guys, right? I mean, all young people like 20s, teenagers. Well, here we were. I was 76. And we all up there, and he asked Tex, "What made y'all decide to come on America?" Tex go,
"We never stopped dreaming.
We never stopped dreaming.
No, I'm still dreaming."
Right. And he's right. And it's about the dream. It's about going, you know, having that dream in your head where you want to go somewhere, and it keeps you going. I know it does.
Let me say this. You know, 81 years old, Harold, 83?
Yes.
But anyway, when you sing as long as we've sung, you learn how to bend notes. You know what I'm saying? You know how to put a ring up. Man, we're better than we ever been in our lives. Sometimes I just said, "Thank you, Lord," because it comes with time. You don't, that just don't happen overnight. You know, and that's all I ever wanted to do was sing. When I leave here, I want to be singing, y'all.
One more thing, Tech, I want to say. At one point in our life, we decided to quit smoking and quit drinking because we wanted to sing. We wanted to make it, and in order to do that, we had to stop messing around with our voice. We had to stop smoking, we had to stop drinking. And we did that, and we still have those voices. I mean, like Tex said, we really can blow right now. Yeah. What's your name?
Oh, boy.
Oh, they say they want to hear a little something. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to thank our sponsors one more time, and I want to thank these soul surviving legends here, the Masqueraders. It's been truly a pleasure and an honor and a treat.
Thank you.
The kind of love that we